It's almost universal, whether it's two wheels, four wheels, 18 wheels, no wheels. So many of us have a special memory involving a vehicle or a story about a car we've loved. Even if you can't tell a crankshaft from a driveshaft, I want to hear the story of the vehicle that moved you. I'm Blake Jackson, and this is Autobiography. This is Greg Shannon, broadcaster extraordinaire from markets all over Canada and currently residing in Edmonton. We want to know about the vehicle that moved you.
My dad was a great mechanic, and I grew up on the farm just outside of Saskatoon, and my responsibilities included oil changes on all the grain trucks and combines and tractors and family vehicles. So I was underneath a vehicle a lot, getting oil poured on my head because for some reason I just couldn't. We had a pit in the shop, and for some reason it was super hot when it was coming out because Dad liked to run it right before we put it in there for a little bit. And I could never get the timing getting the plug out just right. So I'd burn my hand, there would be oil in my hair, and I'd go, this is stupid. I hate mechanics. And then, you know, when the Fonz was on TV and I really wanted to be a mechanic, but I just never was that guy. So I got a story for you. This was the summer of 1978. Beautiful day. Just had come out of the theater to watch Grease. A seminal moment in a young man's life, watching these greasers, and the music in that movie was crazy, and the love story, and hot girl who was, you know, demure when the moms were looking, and then she puts on the leather and stamps out the cigarette, and you're getting the best of both worlds with this Olivia Newton-John character. And I was enamored with this movie. I loved it. It was like almost as impactful on me as Star Wars, just in a different way.
Yeah.
And I loved the cars. I loved all the cars in the movie, obviously, were just next level.
Yeah.
Old school 50s hot rods. And we were walking home. My mom was shopping at the Bay, so we kind of swung by the Bay in downtown Saskatoon. And mom met us there so she could drive us home because I was 15 at the time, 14, 15, something in 78. I don't know. And in this parking lot right adjacent to the Bay was this rounded, fendered, kind of old 50s vehicle. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, what is this? And it was kind of primer pink, but it had the rounded fenders and the headlights and everything like Grease Lightning, but different, not quite as cool. But I'm looking at this going, this is calling to me. And there was a for sale sign in the window. So I wrote down the number and I talked to mom about it. I knew I needed to have this car for some reason. So I started talking to mom and schmoozing her on the way home and everything. And we made the phone call when I got home to the farm. And the guy answered, said, yeah, it's for sale, and it's $50. And I'm going, oh, my God, $50. Like, where am I going to get $50? this was just prior to Big Al starting to pay us for working on the farm a little bit, so which turned out to be a tax write-off for him. That's why we got some cash. But I didn't have a lot of money in the bank. So I got the loan from Dad, got the $50 hot in hand, went down there, and this thing made the exchange. There was, I think, two sets of spare tires jammed into the back seat, and you opened it up, and it was like a metallic smell, kind of an almost a little bit rodenty, but some metallic smell. Like it affected your fillings. I don't know exactly what it was. I know what it was. It was the battery acid leaking. That's what it was.
Oh,
that's what that smell came from. And I sat on this old ragged seat in there and I go, this is awesome. And of course we couldn't drive it home. It wouldn't run. So that made Dad roll his eyes in the back of his head. But we ended up putting it on a trailer and hauling it back to the farm eventually and did a little tinkering. Dad helped out and gave us some advice. And there was one of the things that I thought was the coolest in Grease was the rumble seats. So
yes.
It had the rounded trunk. This was an Austin of England, like a 1952-ish Austin of England.
Just going to pause for a sec and tell you about the 1952 Austin of England A40. Built, of course, by Austin of England, it was part of a line of models built from 1947 to 1967. The A40 was so named for the approximate 40 horsepower output of the 1.2-liter inline-four engine.
And if you look them up, you'll see, if you look on Google Image right now, if you don't know what that is, it was something else. And I, right away, I talked to my brother Warren, and I said, we got to put a rumble seat in this thing. And the gas tank was right underneath the trunk. So that was, you know, safety first. We decided, well, that doesn't matter. So I took a piece of plywood, cut it to fit, old piece of plywood, and stapled on. We always had this green foam on the farm for some reason. And Dad always had these couple of rolls of foam for probably replacing tractor seats or whatever. And I took the foam, cut it to fit, and used the staple gun and stapled this foam on there. And then I got two of those old cinder blocks, put it underneath, and then put the seat across. And I wired with baling wire, I wired the trunk open so that I had this instant rumble seat.
That's awesome, Greg. Yeah. See, this is why I wanted to do this podcast right here. You made your own rumble seat.
We made the rumble seat, and, you know, so we had the run of, we had 2 1/4 sections growing up. It wasn't all our land, but some of it was city rent land, and some was my uncle's. But basically, we farmed 2 1/4 sections just right on the cusp of Saskatoon. So we were right, it was the exhibition grounds, the Golf and Country Club, and then all of our land, kind of along the Beaver Creek Highway there. And we had the run of the farm. So we would just boot it out to the summer fallow and just tear around. And some, my little brother Smoothie, Dean, who he passed away a bunch of years back from an epileptic seizure, but this was prior to him being diagnosed with anything or whatever. And he was just this kid who would giggle at the drop of a hat. And we would throw him in the rumble seat, and he'd be bouncing like 18 inches out of this thing. And there was no seat belt. There was nothing. He's hanging on for dear life as we're, and, you know, we weren't trying not to not throw him out of the rumble seat. And we just had the time of our lives visualizing and fantasizing about turning this thing into something more than it was. It was a 3-on-the-tree transmission. And, one time, one vivid memory I have is we used to get a lot of hot air balloons flying over the farm, and we chased one down. We chased all through the summer falls, all different angles. A little bit of crop was damaged in this mission, I'm going to be honest. And, you know, Dad found out about that. That wasn't a good day. But we ended up finding the landing site and hanging out with the balloon guys in my 1952 Austin of England.
That's incredible, Greg. When was the last time that you saw the vehicle?
You know, because of ag college, radio, and alcohol, I'm not sure. it would have been the probably late 80s or early 90s, because Dad ended up selling the farm in the early 90s. So I think that went with the package because it stopped running after a while. Like we had done what we could do with the thing. And but I'm telling you, you know what a young boy's imagination is like.
Oh, but, absolutely. Especially, you know, on the farm. And that what you were saying about making your own rumble seat and sitting there dreaming about what you're going to do with it, that spoke right to me.
Absolutely. And I know we all have this common existence, and all boys are pretty much the same. And we want to build things, cool things, and we want to try and have more than what we can afford. And it was an adventure, and we got a lot of laughs and a lot of mileage out of that vehicle. And it was all just we were meant to have that thing and all the spare tires that came with it. The other one, I think I told you about, I had another special vehicle real quick. And it has a tragic ending, but I bought a 1952 GM pickup with my own money, and it needed some work. It was drivable, and it had mags on it, Krager mags. And the whole thing. And I just instantly in love with this because my buddy Blair, who ended up becoming the mayor of Clavette, Saskatchewan for like 20 years, Mayor Blair, he started Amigos Auto Wrecking with his brother Miles, and it's still going to this day. And it was at one point the largest auto wrecker in Western Canada. I think they're dispersing a bit now so that they can retire and use their Vegas house more. But he had a 52 Chevy that his grandpa left him when he passed away. And Blair took that right to the end. He fixed it all up, put it in all the car shows in Saskatoon when we were younger. And I just always wanted something like that. So I got this truck, and I was of driving age then. And I had big plans for this thing. So I parked it in the shop, and the first order of business was taking the latex paint off.
Latex paint.
They painted it with this canary yellow latex paint over top of the original paint job. For some reason, I don't know why, it was probably looking crappy, and there was a lot of Bondo on it and a lot of rust holes and whatever. So somebody did a number on this thing. So I coated it all with paint remover, and we had this angle grinder with a wire brush. So I started going over this thing. I had no idea what I was doing. I said, "Dad, how am I going to get all this paint off?" He says, "Just use the grinder." So I was really messing with the delicate GM finish there. And, I started working on it and had the motor pulled apart and everything. And then I met a girl. And, so Jody Presnell was one of those TSN turning points in a young man's life. And all of my time and attention and money went to gas to go to drive to Dundurn to take her out on dates all the time and everything. And I had the Dodge Aspen was my cruising vessel. And then after that one bit the biscuit, it was the Dodge Aspen Special Edition SE model. So rolling pretty cool, I think you can agree, in the mid-1980s I was. And anyway, so I got an offer from her dad, Ron, and he said, "Do you want to sell that truck? I'll buy it from you." And I sold it to him for $1,200. And I think it's still in the Quonset on the farm. He's gone now. She got married to, not me, different individual. And it's probably still in pieces of this repair in their Quonset.
So there's a chance you could get the 52 back.
Well, there's a chance somebody else could. Things ended badly.
Oh!
So if you ever are driving by the Dundurn area, I can tell you what their name is on the mailbox, and you might want to just pop in and go, "Yeah, I'm looking for old vehicles. Do you have anything that fits the bill?" You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And someone might be listening, and hey, we might be able to figure that out. Maybe she's listening right now. But maybe we shouldn't even go there.
I hope not, yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Greg Shannon, the inaugural guest on the Autobiography podcast. And we learned about Grease and Olivia Newton-John and makeshift rumble seats and up away in your hot air balloon. And farm boys have the most fun. That's true. So thank you very much. And thank you for joining us for the Autobiography podcast. If you haven't yet, please join us on all the social media platforms. Download us, follow, like us, share us wherever you download your podcasts, and we'll figure this out together. Having lots of fun. My name's Blake Jackson. Time for our next myth of the machine. Mr. Aaron Overby, mechanic from Saskatchewan, of all places. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Not a problem, Blake. Great to be on.
So I know that you're a car guy. You know your way around a vehicle. You know your way around a truck. You've been turning wrenches for quite a few years here. I sort of explained we wanted to know about the vehicle that really meant a lot or a story that happened about a car. What's the vehicle that moved you?
I've thought about this, Seth, and he brought this up to me. And honestly, the one that automatically stands out, bar none above the rest, would have to be my good old 1988 Chevy half-ton.
Just going to pause for a moment and tell you about the much-loved and long-lived General Motors Chevrolet CK line of trucks. First built in 1959 and running all the way through 2002. The truck in question tonight was the first year of the fourth and last generation of the mid-sized pickup, which through the years was available in two- and four-wheel drive, and everything from a 3.8-liter inline-six to the big block 454.
I bought it in 1995. It was the first vehicle that I bought, like, with my money. It was, you know, it was my baby.
Yeah.
Like, it was my vehicle that I went down to FGI. You know, insured. So it's kind of the first vehicle that I owned outright. It was mine. And yeah, I picked up in Cornet, Saskatchewan. It was, I believe, $7,700
How old were you when you got that truck?
Oh, jeez. I believe I was 18 or just about to turn 18. I can't remember now for sure. I picked it up in September. My birthday's in September, so it would have been right before or right after my 18th birthday.
And did it have a stereo?
Oh, well, actually, that's sweet. Machine had to take that. So I took that into Weber, and I'm taking it into Weimer's Audio and had them upgrade that to, you know, this sweet JVC CD player and some pretty bumping MTX subs behind the seat. A little bit better than the factory.
Oh, for sure. Well, I remember those GMC pickup factory radios. They have that speaker in the dashboard.
Yes, yes.
That would just bounce off the windshield at you?
Oh, God, yeah. But you know what, honestly, that was an awesome truck. I had that thing for that beast for years. And, you know, so reliable. I think everything I've driven since, I can honestly say that was by far the most reliable vehicle ever that I've driven. I mean, I had minimal repairs on that thing, and I put probably 250,000 kilometers on it.
Really? Was it still running when you got rid of it?
It was, actually. I sold it to a good friend of mine, co-worker.
What was the wildest thing that happened to you with that vehicle?
Oh, God. I remember, you remember Matt Hacker.
Yes.
Yeah. So I recall myself and Matt cruising down the highway by Stoughton. For some reason, Matt was driving. I guess I just let him hop in and go and do the driving. And we decided, well, let's see how fast it'll actually go. And it got, you know, we wound her up to about 140 and started to get nervous. It's not the greatest highway. And Matt kept her pinned down, and it bottomed out the speedo at about, I think it was about 160. Mm-hmm. And then we let off as the light started to disappear back on the other side of the speedo. And that's when I was like, Matt, we got to stop. This has to stop now. We figured we must have hit about 180, which now, as an older man, frightens the crap out of me. I'm like, that was extremely stupid.
Well, yeah. And yeah. Remembering myself at that age, reliable sound tires on a vehicle weren't a big priority.
No. Just, when I think of all the many, many things that could have gone so wrong in that short stretch. Wow.
So 180 kilometers an hour. And we should paint the picture. If you haven't been on a Saskatchewan secondary highway, picture the worst third world goat path that you can imagine, and then it's worse. It's worse.
Exactly.
So what do you drive nowadays?
Today I'm driving a 2015 BMW X5.
You've upgraded.
Yeah, I've upgraded and changed. Yeah, yeah.
And how fast have you gone in that vehicle?
Well, I haven't gone 180, but, a good friend of ours, when we were just in Manitoba, we're looking in the manual and came across something called launch mode. And we ended up discovering that my model doesn't actually have that mode. But we did. We got her humming pretty good. I think we were touching 150.
Well, what's your dream car?
Oh, gosh, dream car. You know what? I've always loved a 69 Camaro. That's like, since I was 16 years old, I've always loved those cars. They were, you know, awesome. Just, yeah, cool. They were just the bomb. So one day, maybe, one day, there is hope.
Well, I hope you get it.
Well, I got a bigger garage, so may have room to have one now. So maybe that's something I can work towards. Maybe I'll find myself a project.
Nice. One last question before I let you go for the evening. You were talking about the sweet, sweet JVC CD player that you put in the 88 Chevy half ton.
Yeah.
So when you're cruising around back then, what was your favorite song to listen to? What's your favorite cruising song?
That's tough. You know what is an awesome cruising song, though? Probably, I don't know. Something pretty good, but I love Sultans of Swing. That, I find, is a great song to kick back and kind of relax and go cruise to.
I like that, Aaron, because Sultans of Swing, it's not super high tempo, so you're not going to be going 180. You're going to be driving safely while listening to it.
Exactly. It's a song that has a tempo that makes your choices a little bit slower and a little smarter.
Just relax. Right on. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us on Autobiography. And
This was really fun, buddy. This is cool.
Yeah, lots of fun, and I hope that 69 Camaro comes your way soon.
One day.
Yeah, one day. Okay, I call shotgun, man.
You got her, buddy. Anytime.
See you, bud.
Take care, man. Bye.
Farm boy mechanic Aaron Overby, thank you for joining us on the Autobiography Podcast. Tales of country roads taking me home in my truck, hopefully safely. I'm not sure. And thank you as well to Greg Shannon for, again, telling us about his Austin of England A40. It sounds like he had a great time as a kid. If you had a great time in a vehicle, if you have a story about a vehicle that moved you, a car that meant so much, a truck that was just your favorite, please, for goodness sakes, let us know. Autobiographypod@gmail.com. You can also like us, follow us, everything, whatever they do on social media, do that. And please follow us on all the podcast platforms that you like. And listen next week for more stories about the vehicle that moved you. Until then, keep your wheels on the road and a tarp on your load.